3776.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the April 27th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. It's ladies first on Thursday's show. Let's take a look at one of the fastest growing sports among women in East Africa, cricket. Officials and players say women in the region have all it takes to compete with the rest of the world in cricket. Joining us now from Kampala, Uganda, with some feature insights is Magume Davis Rakowinj. Sporty Thursday greetings, Magume.
Sporty Thursday greetings to Tusani and our listeners.
Janet Mbabazi, the female cricketer.
Yes.
A very good shot there from Gizelle. Gives herself enough room.
Again, in the air.
Victoria Pearls, the Uganda women national cricket team, engaged the United Arab Emirates counterparts in a cricket game in regional tournament Victoria Series at Lugogo Cricket Oval in Kampala. The game ended with eventual tournament winners, Uganda Pearls, winning by 6 wickets after a series of victories against neighbors, Tanzania and Rwanda, and a wastaway match against Kenya. Uganda team captain Konse Aweko says she's delighted her team won the tournament. She says tournaments like this help players to become much better.
I believe we've learned a lot. Cricket itself in Uganda has developed, and many children are going to school because of cricket. They're giving bursaries to school children. People are getting some people like us, we get the exposure to travel and represent our country, which is an honor to any other person out there. Any other person in the sports fraternity would love to be on that team, to wear your national jersey, wear that bird, the Ugandan bird on your chest, to go and represent your country. So it has been quite a nice journey. We've experienced a lot of travels. We have traveled around Africa, around out of Africa, Asia. I've been to Europe just because of cricket.
Joining the game some 13 years back, Aweko says he's grateful to have found some senior women cricket players who guided her through the game. Uganda Pearls first played the international match less than 20 years ago against neighbors Kenya in 2006. And was granted Women 2020 series by International Cricket Association in 2018. Aweko says he's glad the game of cricket among women is on steady growth in the country. She says he's pleased that the game of cricket offers same opportunities just like for their male counterparts.
We play the same tournaments. There is a girls' schools week, there is a boys' schools week. They give them equipment, they give us equipment. The same coaches are given in different schools. When it comes to officials, they give the same officials. Like, it's more of equality. When the men have contracts, even us women, we have contracts. So I don't think that there is a lot of challenge that can affect a girl child in cricket, more or less in Uganda here, because I believe everything they do is about equality.
Yeah. One member of the Kenya Cricket Board tells us how she started the game of cricket as a young girl.
My name is Berry Loyugi. I'm an ex-Kenya Cricket International and now a Cricket Kenya Board member. I began playing cricket in 2003 while still in high school. When we began playing cricket, first of all, as women, we could not play hardball. And being in high school also, we could not play hardball cricket. So we began with softball cricket. For about 3, 4, 5 years, that's when I began playing hardball. So I can say right now the game has advanced away from that. You find kids in primary school and high school starting cricket with hardball, and that helps them develop their game really fast. So for us, it was a slow incline to be inducted into the hardball game.
Oyoge went on to play 13 years for her national team. Sarah Uwela plays for the Rwanda national cricket team, where has been playing cricket for 10 years. She says it was actually easy for her mastering the game.
Cricket is a nice sport. It's somehow addictive, and it has many chances. I mean, because The first year that I represented my country is the same year that I started playing. So it has many chances, and it's a sport that is growing very fast in the country.
She's grateful for the support she gets from her fans, in particular, her number one fans, her family.
They also didn't know the sport before I started playing it, but they ended up liking it because they support me, and they see that it gave me some discipline. Like, when you're a professional player, a professional sports, you gain some discipline with the sport and also out of the sport.
Rwanda women national cricket team first played against Uganda in 2007. The country annually hosts the T20 series Kwibuka tournament, bringing members from East Africa, Namibia and Nigeria. It is played in remembrance of the 1994 genocide against the Tutsi. Wera is grateful she's represented her country both regional and international meets, such as the Nigerian Invitation in 2019, where Rwanda played against host Nigeria in Abuja, losing by 9 runs. Leonard Nambulo has been the head coach for the Rwanda national women cricket team since 2021. Nambulo says he's pleased with the performance of his girls in the just concluded Victoria Series tournament.
The performance that this team is putting up in the past 2 years, it shows that there is something right that is being done to make sure that the team is competitive enough to win important games, and also the structures that we did put in place in terms of selecting the good players that we've got. I think those are some of the things that we've done well. I mean, look, we're beating a team that are highly ranked above you, team like Kenya, team like Tanzania in this tournament. I think that is something that is good for us, and it's something that even motivates the ladies as well to know that they are no longer a small team again anymore in terms of the game of cricket, which means anytime from now we can even beat any team that can come out. Even if you look at the performance that we've showed against Uganda, even against, it shows that now, whatever that you are doing, we are closing the gap between the bigger teams and us.
Rwanda defeated Kenya and Tanzania and put up a satisfactory performance against host Uganda and UAE to finish respective fourth position, the same 4 points as UAE and Tanzania, and just 1 position above Kenya. Namburo says parents should support their daughters just like they do for their sons to play the game of cricket. He says women in South Africa have the ability dominate the sport globally. Michael Grace Ndiko, who coaches both men and women cricket in East Africa, agrees.
With women's cricket, you have to be a little bit more considerate. You have to know what each individual player desires or wants to have. Not that you become personal, but you make sure that you are taking care of each individual's concerns and interests. Unlike the men's game, where you tend to just group them up and it's okay with them. So that's a major challenge, first and foremost. So it means you have to improve your interpersonal skills between yourself and the entire players and the, say, management team. You have to make sure that you take care of that. The girls are really playing some very good cricket, especially evidenced with this most recent tournament. It has been a very wonderful exhibition of cricket, a show of talent and commitment, discipline, showing that really cricket as a sport in East Africa, especially for women, has grown in leaps and bounds.
Perisi Zakayo plays for the Tanzania women team. She's also riding support for women cricket in the region.
People are thinking that cricket is for men only, but it's not. We women, we can play it. Women's will have a larger chance than men's. You can see there's a high and big challenge to men cricket, especially in choosing the player to present the country. But in women's, it's not that tough.
There is less competition. Both players and officials say, with improved infrastructure, the game of cricket in the region will just blossom. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Ugume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala.
Hello, listeners. My name is Perisi Zakayo. I am a cricket player from Tanzania. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Thanks to Perisi Zakayo for that programming ID, and thanks to Magume for that spicy feature on the growing popularity of cricket among women in East Africa. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. And check out the other VOA programs at voaafrica.com. Lots of information at voaafrica.com. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to South Sudanese basketball player Nuni Omot. Nuni played a key role in South Sudan qualifying for its first ever FIBA Basketball World Cup. And Nuni also came up big for the Egyptian club Al Ahly, which made a successful Basketball Africa League debut Wednesday when it defeated Ferroviario de Beira of Mozambique 92-74 in the opening Nile Conference game in Cairo. Nuni tallied a game-high 21 points, and after catching his breath, did a post-game interview with BAL reporter Usher Komagisha. Here's Nuni.
My teammates did a great job of getting me the ball. You know, we came out here and attacked. We continue to, you know, go with what our coach put out for the scouting report. And obviously we capitalized. It was an ugly win, but, you know, I'm happy we got the W.
First game, and it is a W indeed. The fans came out in big numbers. How important was it for you to get the ton rolling here in Cairo?
It was great. Honestly, the fans were great. Obviously, we got an advantage since we're playing in Egypt. It's an Egyptian team. So we had a lot of momentum on our back with the fans, so it was good.
Egypt has been very special for you as a player. You qualified and with South Sudan to the FIBA Basketball World Cup this summer. What was it like for you coming back to play in Cairo and not really Alexandria, where you played with the national team?
It was good, honestly. Cairo is obviously a big city. Never been out here. I was in Alexandria, but just to be able to have fans in the gym is great.
That South Sudanese basketball player Nuni Omot. Nuni won Player of the Game honors Wednesday when he helped lead Al Ahly of Egypt to its maiden win in the Basketball Africa League. And Nuni was speaking with BAL reporter Usher Komagisha in Cairo, Egypt.
Hello, listeners. My name is Sarah Owera. I'm a cricket player for the national team of Rwanda, and you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah.
Hello. This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The Basketball Africa League is a partnership between the International Basketball Federation, FIBA, and the National Basketball Association, the NBA, in what's being described as one of the most stunning first-round playoff upsets in NBA history. The Miami Heat eliminated the top-seeded Milwaukee Bucks Wednesday night. Miami won the best-of-seven series 4-1. The Heat were once again led by the player nicknamed Jimmy Buckets. Jimmy Buckets. I'm talking about Jimmy Butler, who once again made some big buckets for Miami. The AP's Chuck Freeman reports from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
The last two wins in the series, the Heat have had to rally from double-digit fourth-quarter deficits. They eliminated the top-seeded Bucks in overtime, 128-126. The Heat won the series in 5 behind Jimmy Butler, who was amazing in the series. His tip-in in the closing second sent the game to overtime.
I've been shooting the ball an incredible amount this series, but I feel like they're all shots that I know that I can make. And my teammates keep telling me to shoot the ball more.
Butler followed up a 56-point performance in Game 4 with 42 as the Heat rallied from a 16-point fourth-quarter deficit to win. Chuck Freeman, Milwaukee.
Thanks, Chuck. The New York Knicks also advanced to the second round of the NBA playoffs by eliminating the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Memphis Grizzlies staved off elimination with a victory over the Los Angeles Lakers. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
The Knicks earned a 106-95 win over the Cavaliers for their first playoff series victory in 10 years. Jalen Brunson scored 23 points, and R.J. Barrett had 21 for New York, which captured the last 3 of the 5-game set. Brunson averaged 24 points in the series, leading the Knicks in scoring for all 4 wins.
No matter what's going on out there, we all look at each other, the five are out there, and we know that, you know, we got a job to do. We got to sit together and stay mentally tough through anything.
Mitchell Robinson added 18 boards for the Knicks. Donovan Mitchell led all scorers with 28 points, and Darius Garland had 21 for the Cavaliers. The Grizzlies stayed alive as 3 of their players had double-doubles in a 116-99 decision over the Lakers. Desmond Bane delivered 33 points and 10 rebounds. John Morant had 31 points and 10 boards. And Jaren Jackson Jr. added 18 points and 10 rebounds. Morant says the board battle was big.
Definitely something we needed, you know, to get a win. And something, you know, coach challenged us to do was, you know, for us to rebound. So that's good.
Memphis led by just 2 with 4.5 minutes left in the third quarter before embarking on a 26-2 run. Anthony Davis paced the Lakers with 31 points and 19 rebounds. Game 6 is Friday in Los Angeles. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. In a playoff matchup between 2 more California-based teams, the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors scored a 123-116 road victory over the Sacramento Kings. Golden State now leads the first round series 3-2. Star guard Steph Curry led the Warriors in Game 5 with a game-high 31 points.
In any series, winning on the road is a big deal. It's hard to do. And then you add on the layer of how we've been on the road throughout the course of the regular season. So it was a big, big night for us.
Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors will now host Game 6 on Friday night in San Francisco, California. It's must win for Sacramento. Kings coach Mike Brown, the NBA's coach of the year, says his team will be ready.
You know, we've been great when our backs have been against the wall all season, you know, and so I don't see it being any different. We'll be ready for Game 6. Our guys know what's at stake, and we're looking forward to the challenge.
Looking forward to the challenge. That's Sacramento Kings coach Mike Brown, the NBA's coach of the year.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Sporty greetings. This is Liz Mills, head coach of Abidjan Basketball Club of Côte d'Ivoire. You are listening to Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Liz Mills is the first and only female head coach in the Men's Basketball Africa League. She has led Abidjan Basketball Club to next month's BAL playoffs. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again as I ask Coach Mills about the BAL's future growth.
I definitely see the league expanding over the next couple of years. I think it would be a great way for more countries to be involved in the league, as well as open the league up to more fans. I do know that, you know, in the original version of the league, we were traveling home and away, and, you know, like with most leagues around the world, BAL had to adapt due to COVID. I think eventually, though, you know, 5, 6, 10 years down the line, we'll see the league played more like the NBA league in home and away, multiple clubs participating, and definitely expanding beyond the 12 teams that currently play in the league. I do hope that we see this as a way to also help improve basketball on the continent. More countries mean that we see more investment, but also we see improvement on a playing level as well as coaching level. So there's so many benefits to the league expanding. And I think the important thing is not to expand too soon. And you want to make sure that the league that we're developing right now has the capabilities of expanding that at that level. And I know we'll see that soon, but it's important to really focus on what we're doing right now and making it the best possible league for the teams that are participating in it at the moment.
Coach, the BAL has been promoting gender equity initiatives. As the only female head coach in the league, which initiatives do you like?
The BAL has multiple social responsibility initiatives, which I love. One of them is Trees for Trees, which I participated in last year with my former team, where we were actually one of the highest scoring three-point teams in the league, and we got to plant a lot of trees when we went to Kigali, Rwanda. And obviously one that's very close to my heart is the BAL for Her program, which is a great initiative promoting women across all aspects of basketball. And I think this really is where the BAL is leading the way. As a female participating in the league, even though I'm the only female coach, there are women throughout the organization. You know, we have female referees, we have female game commissioners, we have female officials on the sidelines. We have female cameramen, we have female commentators, we have females in all aspects of the BAL operations. And so you never feel alone. Even though it is a men's league, there is the presence of women everywhere across the league. And I'd say it's probably the only men's professional league in the world where that is the case. And so BAL is really leading the way in terms of gender equality. I do hope, though, in the future we do see some more female coaches. That would be amazing. And even last year, Coach Caddy from Dakar University was an assistant coach for the Senegalese club team. So in the future, I hope to see more coaches. But I do know that the league is looking to promote this as well. And I have no doubt that I will be one of many in the next couple of years.
Like you, Coach, I grew up playing multiple sports. What was the spark that ignited your passion for coaching?
I was really lucky to grow up in Sydney, Australia, with my twin sister, where our parents encouraged us to play multiple sports. There's plenty of research out there that talks to the advantage of playing multiple sports before you decide on a specific discipline. And I always encourage the athletes that I work with when I was working with juniors to play multiple sports and not get too specific too early. And so my sister and I actually started our sporting careers as netball players. And it was only when we were about 10 years old that we stumbled across basketball. It was the Women's National Basketball League in Australia. And at the time, it was really, it had great female basketball players in Lauren Jackson and Penny Taylor, who went on to have amazing WNBA careers, as well as having so many female head coaches, which was rare in the 90s and early 2000s. And Coach Carrie Graff in particular was coaching one of the WNBL teams. And when I saw her marching up and down the sidelines, she was a successful, strong, intelligent woman. And as a 10-year-old, that left a deep impression on me. It's probably the reason why I ended up becoming a coach, because it planted a seed early on that as a woman, I could be a leader and I could be successful. And so I think without doubt, if as a 10-year-old I hadn't have turned on that TV and seen that visible female role model, I probably might not have ended up as a coach. So this is why even now in my career, I try to be as visible as possible, because you never know who you're inspiring by just doing what you're doing.
Are there other basketball coaches who inspire you and who you really admire?
I've been inspired by a number of coaches throughout my career. But fundamentally, first and foremost, Coach Carrie Graff has had the biggest impact. Without seeing her be so successful in the WNBL and WNBA, I probably never would have thought about being a coach. And so this speaks to having a visible female role model to look up to. And then I would say one of my biggest mentors has been Rex Nottage in Sydney, Australia. I met him when I came back to Australia in 2013 to do my master's in coaching degree, and he was part of the program, and he had a wealth of knowledge coaching all around the world. And in terms of my technical abilities, I learned the most under him. But overall, I would say a coach that I deeply admire is Greg Popovich of the San Antonio Spurs. He embodies everything that I think is really important in a coach, placing the player-coach role relationship as basically the foundation of coaching. And I know that hopefully one day I would have as big an impact as he has had on the basketball world. And he's someone that I deeply admire and hope that my career replicates a tiny bit of what he has achieved.
Coach Mills, do you think the Nile Conference games will be as competitive as the Sahara Conference, which featured five teams, including your Abidjan Basketball Club, that had identical records of 3 wins and 2 losses?
Yes, I definitely think the Nile Conference is going to be just as competitive as the Sahara Conference. This conference has, you know, some heavy hitters in Petro de Luanda from Angola and Ahali from Egypt, but I think they've got some great contenders in Cape Town Tigers from South Africa and Beira from Mozambique. I also think that, you know, Slack comes in with experience from Season 2, and City Oilers is a team from Uganda who has played numerous times at this level, just never in the BAL. So I think each team has experience. It's going to be hard to know who's really going to come out on top. I do suspect that it will be Petro or Ahali, but like in the Sahara Conference, this is Africa. Anybody can beat anybody on any given day, and that's what makes this league so exciting.
That's Liz Mills, the head coach of Abidjan Basketball Club. And stay tuned, because Coach Mills is scheduled to be our special guest on our first Nile Conference Nothing But Net with Mukbil and Sonny podcast. And that wraps up the the April 27th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.